Nation.
Welcome to the Living Dead Minute, the daily podcast where we resurrect, revitalize, and reanimate George Romero's Night of the Living Dead 1 minute at a time in order. My name is Jason. I am from ThatMightBeCool.com.
I am Rachel from the Savage Land Podcast.
And I am Matt from the Savage Land Podcast.
And today we are discussing Minute 25 of Night of the Living Dead. Minute 25 begins with the two boarding up the windows and doors, and ends with Ben asking Barbara if she knows about what sounds like Beekman's Diner, but could be another name for a diner.
My favorite part of this minute is Ben decides the most helpful thing that he can get Barbara to do is sort nails.
Pick out the biggest ones.
Find the big ones, Barbara.
That's like a job, like if you ever work on a project with your dad when you're like a small child, and he's like,
exactly.
Like, I can't get rid of him. I can't tell him not to help me because I want to teach him how to work. But he's just useless because he's got these little toddler hands that aren't good for anything. So I'll just hand him the box of nails and tell him to find the big ones.
Yep.
And then inevitably put them right back in the same container before, you know, ever needing them again.
Yep.
Yep.
It's fucking hilarious. I love it. What do you
My
guys...
My favorite part about this minute is Ben saying that everything seems pretty secure, but that window behind them isn't boarded up at all.
It's like, yeah, but they don't understand glass. It confuses them.
Yeah, they will still only use the doors.
Yeah, so good thing we wasted all our many pieces of wood.
I know.
I kind of like that though. That they're not like, you know, they're figuring out how to deal with it as time goes as well.
Yeah.
Because I think to him, it probably does feel secure. He's got the doors shut. Everything's fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's going to be
no
fine,
one's
ever
coming
Ben.
Don't
through
worry. A window anywhere.
Nope.
No. Ben, this is going to turn into a lighthearted comedy about
about
board
coexisting
games
with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, windows are for gazing and doors are for walking. So obviously, if they're walking toward you, they're going to be coming through a door.
Yeah.
Just simple math.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So just simple math.
What do you guys think the zombies are doing out there right now, though?
That's the question. Like, what's going on outside?
Like,
and there was obvious. It definitely felt like there was a little bit of a time skip there.
Yeah.
So they're just standing there?
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm wondering. Like, are they just like, oh, well, nobody's out here, so we're just going to go into sleep mode for a bit, power down.
I mean, he mentions they're afraid of fire, so I wonder if that fire on the porch is still burning.
Maybe they fell into a burning ring of fire.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
That would have been a good idea if they just made a line of fire around the house. Actually, no, because then it probably would have moved in and burned the house down, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the house is made
of house material.
Yeah. The house is made of a fire starter. which is really, if you think about it, if you're wanting to prevent your house from burning down, wood's probably not the most wise thing to build it out of, the more I think about that. Anyway. hashtag cement houses 2017.
Why don't they build houses out of fire extinguishers? I mean, if we're going for it, let's just go all the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, they could. Probably not very well, but they could.
You'd never have a fire issue.
Yeah, anytime a fire starts, there's a fire extinguisher right there.
Yep, all around you.
And you also, the other advantage is when you pull one of those fire extinguishers out, you now have a new window.
Well, yeah, I don't think you need to pull it out.
They just have the hoses sticking out?
Yeah, you just have the closest one and turn it on.
Yeah.
As soon as that one's out, you just move, you know, 2 inches to your right and then grab the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're alternated with the hoses inside and outside to prevent outside fires as well.
Because you don't want a yard fire.
Yeah.
Everyone knows how deadly yard fires can be.
They're the deadliest.
The deadliest fire of all is the yard fire. That's what Smokey the Bear was trying to warn us about, because forest fires become yard fires at a certain point.
Yes.
Yeah, 95% of yard fires kill 100% of your lawn.
Exactly. And 80% of forest fires become yard fires, and 90% of yard fires started as forest fires, so... And 80% of the 1% of income is funneled through 30% of the economy, you know?
Uh-huh.
We got to get Bernie Sanders here to analyze more percentages.
Just a bunch of math.
A lot of math. It's been a math-heavy minute here.
Yeah. just using statistics.
How do you think that Ben originally found out about the fear of fire?
I think he magically came across that when he lit that guy on fire.
Just barely in the last minute? You think that was the first time?
Yep.
Huh.
Well, he mentions that the zombies are afraid of it.
Yeah.
Do you think they're just, like, aware that they're afraid of it at all times? Or...
I don't
just
know.
When they see it,
like if they're walking around knowing, I hope there's no fire over there because I'm gonna be afraid of that, or if it's just like all of a sudden, oh, a fire, whoa,
yeah,
that is tough because it's like, how much cognition does a zombie have? You know,
I wonder if they've got enough cognition to realize that 96% of lawns have lawn fires.
Yeah, they shouldn't be on a lawn right now if they're afraid of fire.
No, they should probably stay away from, you know, lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any lawn.
Lawns, houses. Forests, houses.
Land.
Land. Earth.
Well, that seems to be where most of the zombies are, though.
That's true. I guess it's kind of like this bitter irony of, like, you know, their fire is their biggest sort of fear or enemy, but they live in a world surrounded by fire.
It's a conundrum.
It's even orbiting a giant fire.
Ooh. Yeah, wouldn't they be scared of the sun?
Yeah, they probably are scared of the sun. That's why they're out at night.
Well, I wonder if it's the heat. Maybe it's the heat. Maybe they've got heat vision or something.
Interesting. So do you think if you put one... Well, obviously, if you put one in a stove, that'd probably hurt it, but... or in an oven. I wonder then, like, what the threshold is for heat. Like, if you put a space heater, like, if you just put a space heater on it, you know? Do you think that would kill it?
No.
But if you impaled its head onto a space heater, it'd probably kill it.
What if you wrapped it in, like, a ton of saran wrap so that no heat could escape? Like, if its own body... Or are zombies cold?
You mean...
Like, it just
aluminum
got...
Aluminum foil?
Would it get sweaty enough to die?
Yeah. Well, like, aluminum foil or saran wrap. Either way, there's no real, like, breathing or pores inside of either.
Your saran wrap is just going to melt.
Yeah, have you ever tried wrapping yourself in saran wrap? You just get super sweaty.
Yeah, but it's heat, though, right?
Yeah, but it's not going to kill you unless you, like, drown in it,
which would
take a while.
Well, then I guess, okay, aluminum foil, then.
I don't know.
Like, you know, like, when you're on scout camp and you have, like, tinfoil dinners or whatever? Like, if you had a zombie tinfoil
dinner.
I was just thinking
tinfoil dinners, but zombies.
But you gotta put them into open flame for that, or on hot coals, not on a space heater.
So if you put a zombie on hot coals inside a tinfoil dinner, you think that'd do it?
I think it would do it either way. Whether
or
not it was wrapped up. Yeah.
Do you think that it would, like, bake the flesh and meat enough that you could possibly eat it if you needed to?
Yeah, like if it disinfected it?
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds pretty risky.
It might be. Well, maybe. So maybe then you've got to pour alcohol all over the zombie first before putting it in the tinfoil dinner fire.
Okay, but by that same logic, if you did that, would then you get a zombie stomach? But that's it.
Mmm.
And would it eat itself?
Would it eat itself? Would it be like, screw you, small intestine?
It just starts eating your... Oh, my God. That would be horrifying. Your stomach just starts eating the rest of your organs slowly. Because you ate zombie meat? Because, like, you're a cannibal that came across some zombies? I don't know.
Hey man, this goes all the way to the top. We're just trying to figure it out.
Hey, that's Rachel's phrase. Well, we need to work on that story. That's a fun little horror short story there.
That's a gross story.
Zombie stomach. All right. Trademark us.
But that's all I got. Ben's about to do something with that dining room table. I bet he's gonna nail it to the wall.
He might. I think this might be the first time that a table has ever been flipped without rage.
Yeah, he just kind of politely flipped it over.
It was just like a kind sort of flip. Usually when a table's being flipped, it's not without rage. It's not without rage, it's with outrage. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
That's I don't know, just a very, very, very polite table flip. He did also, like, to prepare for that polite table flip, He did take his sleeves off. He did take off that Mr. Rogers cardigan, I noticed.
That's true.
Which is how you know it's getting serious.
You know, only 2% of tables get flipped with outrage, so.
Wait, with outrage or without rage?
The first one.
So with outrage.
Without rage.
Oh, without rage. Okay.
Without rage.
Without rage.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Who's on first? yeah.
Okay, no, that's good to know.
I feel like we're getting somewhere. We got some dialogue, finally. We got some actual kind of moderate plot things. Barbara's sorting nails. Getting somewhere.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, we're really cooking. Really cooking with fire here. Cooking with lawn fire. T-shirts coming soon to nowhere. All right.
Yeah, you got any 68s for us?
You know, I do. There's one. One's a bit of a bummer, and one's kind of cool. So
sounds like par for the course.
Par for the course. On July 17th, 1968, Saddam Hussein becomes vice chairman of the Revolutionary Council in Iraq after a coup d'état. Hmm.
I bet you he's going to do just fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's going to rise up that corporate ladder and really do something.
And be a really nice guy.
Yep, there won't be any problems at all there.
Definitely.
Nope.
But the very next day, a sign of progress for the better, is started with the semiconductor company Intel being founded.
Oh,
They're not going to go that far.
Yeah, no, they're probably going to do the opposite of Saddam Hussein. They're probably just going to kind of, whittle away.
Yeah. Hey, if you go back wither in time. Away. Not worth putting stocks into that company. They're not going to make it.
No,
I'm sure anybody who invested in Intel around this time, they probably went broke.
In fact, if you have to choose between the two, invest in Saddam Hussein. That's going to work out a lot better for you.
That's another T-shirt coming soon to you. Invest in Saddam Hussein. Oh boy, down with Intel. Invest in Saddam. All right, we've accomplished a lot here today.
Yeah. Great.
And I think we've left the people with a lot of enlightening messages to carry into their weekend. So we hope you enjoy the rest of your presumably work holiday, unless you work retail or in the restaurant business. So enjoy that holiday. You've got a nice 4, 5, 10, however many day weekend for Thanksgiving. So make the most of it. But join us back here on Monday for the Living Dead Minute.
Station.